time for Bureaucracy Now! I'm Taylor Clark. I'm the co-host. John Morrow is away this week because he is running in the Boston Marathon, so I want everybody to have good thoughts about that. But John was very excited to set up some special guests for today, and when I started to read the resume, I realized why he was excited about it. And actually, our two guests are Jeff Kosteka, who is the assistant city engineer, has just recently joined the city from Vancouver, Washington. Just moved here. So first of all, Jeff, welcome to Port Townsend.
Thank you,
and thank you for on one of your early weeks here, jumping into community radio. And as I say, John was really excited. He was excited about you as a new hire before he even told me about you. And then I see that you're a graduate of the UW Sustainable Transportation Graduate Program.
Currently in it. Yeah, I got a year and a quarter left.
Ah, yeah. Okay. And I'm glad to see that you're interested in walkable cities. And it's good to have people on staff who are younger and represent sort of a more modern way of looking at it. Our other guest today is Dan Burden, who is a longtime Port Townsend resident and a nationally recognized expert on walkable cities. And I think, like some nationally recognized experts who are residents of Port Townsend, sometimes overlooked locally, but everybody I've talked to about you said, oh no, you definitely have to meet Dan. And he has a lot on the ball on this. And both Jeff and Dan are here today because tomorrow we have a conference coming up at the American Legion Hall.
Still seats available.
And runs from 9 until 4 p.m. It is called Moving in the Right Direction. It is about walkable cities. For more information, and I'll give you this URL again, it's l2020.org/conf2023. Tickets are available. Lunch is available.
Yeah. Still, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, they might have run out of lunch.
Know. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I have my lunch nailed down. I wasn't going to miss that.
Bring a sandwich just in case, right?
Yeah.
Such a cool opportunity to have that right in our backyard. I mean, I would travel. I would walk if I could. But if that was across the state, I would still want to go to that conference. Really cool opportunity to have that right in our town.
And I know I've been to some conferences before where they're relatively small and lightly attended, but it sounds like we might have hit critical mass here with people who are interested in where Port Townsend is and where it's going. And I guess I should ask you first, Jeff, you're new to Port Townsend. What do you see here that's different?
There's a lot different here than what Dan would call, modernized cities, right? I came through on a whim last year, waiting for the ferry to go camping, and me and my wife said, I'd live in this city. This is really cool. And met an engineer, Laura, at the city, and she...
You met her at a conference,
at a conference, and she said, hey, we're hiring, and the rest is history. But, yeah, it's such a cool city. It really checks all of our lists, both personally and then career-wise too. So we're super happy to be here.
And you walked here today.
I walked here today. We're pretty excited. We're down to one car. We sold a car when we moved here from Vancouver because, this is our dream city. We can walk to things. The weather's great. There's a lot of reasons that allows us to walk and bike in this city.
Now, I know, Dan, you consult, I assume, with other cities and organizations, and so you must encounter, city organizations that are, perhaps more entrenched in car culture.
Most. If not. Well, most. There are some really great cities in America that are walkable, but we're one of them.
I'm thinking it must be nice that we're starting to get people on the city payroll who are, who are oriented towards walking and biking. John was originally the bike coordinator for Cascade Bicycle Club, was an early position of his, so he's clearly a cyclist from way back.
Yeah, I think it's important that many of the people who choose to be at the end of a peninsula on the end of a peninsula
right.
are here because they're tired of living the old lifestyle, right? So many of the people who move here are ready to support building the walkability and sustainability, the things that Port Townsend is becoming known for.
See, this is the part where I forget the questions. You know, there are what Port Townsend is known for, in my view, is the trail system is in Port
yes.
Townsend is extensive and apparently comparable to larger cities in terms of the number of miles of trails that we have. And we seem to have avoided some of the worst excesses that some cities, you know, we don't have a Strode on the way out of town with big box stores all around it. And you were telling me you were part of putting those traffic circles in the first place.
Yes, the Upper Sims Way. Yeah. Back when I first moved here, actually before I moved here, I was mm-hmm. brought in to be a public speaker around 2005, I believe. Mm-hmm. And at that time, they wanted to rebuild Upper Sims. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of experience with transforming roads to be more business friendly, people friendly, social life friendly. And people were ready for a roundabout. So I provided the guidance. Mm-hmm. And then they, of course, turned it over to an engineering team to build. And it truly is one of the better gateways in the Pacific Northwest. It commands your attention from the get-go. It sets the tone and the stage for how you're to behave
yeah.
now right. that you're in this town.
You're coming off the highway. You're entering into a walkable environment.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So you think that there's a psychological aspect to road design in terms
yeah.
of wow. Okay.
Gateways is what we'd call it. So, yeah, if you have that gateway saying, hey, you're changing the environment of the road, so it's a cue to a driver to say, you cannot be driving at highway speeds anymore. This is getting more complex. There are people crossing the road. There are driveways. There are stores. You know, you need to pay attention.
Yeah, and slow down.
And slow down.
This is the principle behind the edge lane road, right? It's supposed to slow drivers down.
Yes.
And I think the important thing is all of Port Townsend should never allow a speed above 30. And that's just for a few roads. Everything else in time should be no more than 20. And this is where people live.
I've heard that theory before.
Yeah.
And I immediately reacted like a car brain and said, oh, it's so hard to drive 25. I mean, even 25, I have a hard time driving 25.
It is if the road says you should be going faster.
Right.
And so what we're now saying is the engineers in the past were challenged to keep traffic moving and keep it moving at regional speeds.
This is what they learned.
This is what they learned and got rewarded by.
Yeah.
I used to work for the Florida Department of Transportation. There was no such thing as building streets for people. It didn't exist. It just wasn't a thought.
It was about building streets for cars.
So yeah, and speed. And sadly, the U.S. is now one of the most dangerous places to live in the world. Almost every country in the world has a safer traffic condition than we do. And we're now trying to catch up, especially with Northern Europe, where they figured this one out. They call it Vision Zero.
Uh-huh.
And their goal is to get down to no deaths whatsoever. And
they're treating it not as a quality of life, but as a public safety issue
and a public right. You
yeah.
have right to be safe, to not have your child have to stay indoors when
yeah. And that's what I thought the winning argument about, you know, when the 20 mile an hour speed limit was proposed to me and I said, I can't even drive 25. And, you know, why should we drop to 20? And the answer was, cars are not the only user of the road.
Correct.
We have bikes, we have pedestrians, and Lord knows we have a guy who rides his horse downtown. Have you seen him?
Yes. I think I live by him. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah. You know.
So I think once we distinguish the function of a particular road, we can get down to the 20 miles an hour easy.
Well, we did downtown.
We did downtown.
I am not encouraged to speed through downtown.
It's designed for you to drive.
There's no center lane. And I was shocked the first time when I came to Port Townsend and saw a delivery truck pulled up in the middle of the road. And I thought, well, what's with that? And the answer is it makes perfect sense to park your delivery truck in the middle of the street. There's just enough room to get around the sides, and I'm going to go around the sides slowly because there could be somebody getting out of the truck.
Right. We're adding friction to the roadway, or to the street. Sorry, not road. It's not a road. It's the street. Uh-huh. It's for people, and it's for generating revenue. We have restaurants and stores. So, yeah, adding friction, adding complexity to a street makes them safer because drivers have to be more aware so they slow down.
It sounds to me like maybe the educational system is changing too. If you're still in the program, is
right.
Has there been a change from a city engineering training standpoint? Or?
I don't know about municipal training, but I can tell you when I was an undergrad, I took one transportation course as a requirement, and it was geared towards highway design or rural county roads where it's high speed and. How does it curve? How do the hills that you have to see, you know, so many hundred feet in front of you?
Oh, but, in order to pass.
See a rural driveway. But, you know, I'm in a graduate program now, and I'm now just getting to, well, how do we design a city? And so, you know, if you're a fan of Strong Towns out there, this may sound familiar.
Yeah,
but
I am.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of engineers are applying highway and high-speed roads to cities. And that's kind of where Dan would call modernism of how we are where we are today in most places. But luckily, Port Townsend is unique where we've really preserved the historic road grid. And it was platted out in the 1880s. That's why we have so much right-of-way where we have this amazing network of trails. So complexity is good.
We have the network of trails because they're on platted streets that were never constructed.
That's correct.
And I think that's interesting because, you know, it so often you see suburban developments where they say, well, you know, we have this sort of, you know, enclave. Right. And then we have another enclave. And then there's the famous case of you can't walk from one enclave to the other. But we have the streets in between and we're putting walkways in.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's easier to get someplace by foot than by car.
That's by design.
OK.
Yeah.
If you are just joining us, you're listening to Bureaucracy Now on KPTZ. I'm talking with Jeff Kosteka, who is the Port Townsend Assistant City Engineer and a new member of the Port Townsend staff, and to Dan Burden, nationally recognized expert on walkability. Is that the summary?
I have
a multi-page thing here which I didn't get a chance to read.
No problem. Back when I got involved in transportation, which would have been in a big way by 1980, I was all into bicycling. I was a bicyclist myself, and I was hired by the state of Florida to help develop safe and fun places for people to bike. But I went over on a trip to Australia at their invitation, and then I came away saying, it's not about bikes, it's about walking. Once you focus on walking, you get to the right scale, the right speed, the right way to design a community. The bikes then get better served, so you're doing both. Transit can't work unless walking works, and bicycling can't work unless land use works. Mm-hmm. So everything goes into informing the way we design a street. But cars will always be served. That will never be a problem. But they should not, in a place like Port Townsend, drive faster than is appropriate for the design of the street and the design of the neighborhood and other area. Yeah. So, yeah, walkability is like it's the golden element of designing any city. More and more people are coming to realize that, that you... You can't design a city unless you design it for people.
Right. 15-minute cities is a term that's fairly new, but you've been talking the same thing for years. But you know, the founder out of Paris would say, we need to build our the rhythm of a city must be that of people, not cars. Because if once you keep that in mind of saying the rhythm's going to be for people, everything else falls into place.
Yep. Oh, that's absolutely true. There's an interesting thing about 15-minute cities. They're as old as civilization. Mm-hmm. Before there was the car, everything was at a right scale for walking, mm-hmm. and the right speed, and even the design of streets. But when we introduced the automobile and it kept getting one favor after another, then walking started to become something you did under duress. And it was sad that we lost the ability, the freedom to pick which mode of travel we want and to do it for all ages. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting it back gradually. And that's what this conference is all about.
So about the conference that's coming up, I mean, we can talk about this, but I guess my question would be, what do we see the outputs of the conference being? Is it about raising our consciousness about this, or are we going to start working on a new? You mentioned the Jeff. You mentioned the city, the plan.
The
98 non-motorized.
Oh
plan.
Yeah,
yeah, but it hasn't been revised since 98.
No, it has. I believe 2010 or 11.
Okay.
And I believe Steve Keen, me and my boss, mentioned that it will be revised again. I'm not sure when.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing plan. Seeing that when I was thinking about taking this job, I said, "Holy smokes!" The city and the community was talking about these. You know,
in 98,
amazing ideas in 98.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's
no one else that I know of was talking about that. That's amazing.
That's actually high praise.
Yeah.
Thank you for that on behalf of whoever is responsible for the 98 non-motorized plan. That, you know, I'm sure they would want to know that people are still looking at that going, wow, these guys were getting it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So a good way to describe what the conference is about tomorrow is it's planting the seeds, showing the tools that the best cities are now applying mm-hmm. to become an active transportation community. We're mostly there, but there are just so many fine-tuning steps that are now needed, and that's what the conference is to produce, is what are the approaches that we should be taking in Port Townsend to make us one of the most walkable cities of size or scale in the country.
I know that Port Townsend sees ourselves as trendsetters, and we feel that we have an opportunity. I know this came up in the housing discussion to try and get ahead of the game and do things differently or better than are being done elsewhere to really set an example. And this is an opportunity to kind of push that narrative forward on the walkability part of it.
Correct? Absolutely, yeah. And the good news is there are now many sources of funding for streets, and we should not spend another dime on any street that's going to reduce the ability for social life of the street, the walkability, all the greening of the street, everything that the street needs to be going forward, it must be. And that's really what the conference hopes to put that point of emphasis on.
Is that the quality of life?
Yep.
Pardon?
Quality of life.
Quality of life.
Yeah. You know, density is not everything. You have to have a city that's interesting, that encourages people to get out and walk, to want to get out and walk.
Well, this is where we meet one another too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Out walking around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get involved in the, I'm assuming yes, in the Discovery Road project?
Yes. I was a peer reviewer of the project.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And did that take into account some of these principles that you're talking about? I know there's a bike lane involved in that.
Yeah, some but not all. When I was able to do a peer review, I already realized they didn't do an effective public engagement process. And that's a real problem. Technically, we've got very bright engineers that can figure out what they should build, but they don't have permission from the public to do it if there wasn't a very engaging public process.
Well, that's always the challenge, isn't it?
That's always the challenge. Yeah. There, In fact, the 15-minute cities, just to use an example, there's a pushback group that is saying you're taking away our freedoms.
I've seen that.
It's crazy.
I've seen that. And it's, yeah. I'm shocked, actually, in some ways. But I know it. Yeah, they feel fundamentally wronged by the they. I think the problem is that they see it as like you're not allowed to drive 20 minutes. And it's like, no, if you want to drive 20 minutes, you go right ahead. But yeah. We want to make it possible so people can work and live and shop close to home, right?
Yeah, that's freedom, yeah. in my opinion.
And me too.
going on a walk and not being afraid of, you know, crossing a street because someone's driving 40 miles an hour in a residential street, or, you know, worried to take your kid on a bike ride because of traffic or wide roads, like.
Yeah,
that's the opposite of freedom.
Well, you know, the biking thing, I was also a cyclist in the 80s, starting in about 1980. And I used to ride, you know, this is before mountain bikes, and I rode on the road because that's where we rode. And that worked fine for about 20 years. And then suddenly one day I went, holy, those are big cars and I'm afraid. Suddenly I kind of reached the point that it was like, this is hard.
Yeah.
So
introduce distracted driving now.
Yeah.
But I guess getting back to Discovery Road, the thing we all need to do is to say, okay, what new tools are we going to apply here that are going to work that we can begin to apply to other streets? Mm-hmm. Which ones, we didn't quite get it right. That's also a learning experience.
And community involvement is one of those tools.
Absolutely. We should never do a big capital expenditure without heavily involving bringing the public together.
Yeah, I know the city is putting a lot of effort into the discussion about the golf course and the discussion about the pool and in the ongoing effort to have community engagement. So every year I see the engagement process going to a new level. So I think maybe one way to treat this conference is as it's sort of a general purpose engagement effort. I know we're going to have staff members are going to be there.
I'll be there.
Four elected leaders from the city will be there.
So we have policymaker electeds. Yep. Steve King is on the short list of people who are. I don't know what his role is in it, but so. But
it's news to me. I haven't talked to Steve about the conference yet. I said this is an amazing conference. I'm going to go to it.
So. He backs it. He's. I don't know what level he's going to be there, yeah. but he does back it significantly.
Well, that's good to know. So will we have county people there? Do you think?
Yes, a number of county people, county staff for sure, mm-hmm. and I believe a couple of the county elected leaders will mm-hmm. take part as well.
Yeah. So we really have an opportunity. This is an opportunity from a standpoint of the public to engage these people in conversation. And there's going to be breakout sessions where we're going to get together. I think we're going to have a city council person on each breakout session.
This is the game changer for Port Townsend.
So you're pretty excited about this, aren't you?
Oh, I am. I am. We are leaving behind an era where transportation cut through to communities. From here on out, transportation dollars we build be spent to build communities, not reduce their charm and beauty.
Yeah, and I should avoid telling personal stories, but I grew up in a neighborhood that was slated to be cut by a freeway in '62, and was one of the first places in the country where people stood up and said, you know, maybe we don't need this freeway. And that's where the ramps for nowhere, you know, ramps to nowhere came from, is that was an interchange that never got built. So I think, you know, when you consider how far we've come from, and I like your characterization that construction, that the effort on the part of the city to build transportation solutions should build community rather than just build roadways. Is that?
That's totally correct.
Yeah.
I have a thought I'd like to share.
Yes, because I haven't gotten to your notes very far.
Okay. I will say Port Townsend is an amazing place that encourages people to walk and bike, and people definitely do walk and bike. But we haven't talked about technology and how e-bikes have really changed a lot of things. So, you know, 15-minute city, you can get across town in 15 minutes on a bike. So, I mean, in theory, the entire city limits, all 9 square miles, is a 15-minute city. And, you know, the reality is we're at safety in numbers. So it's already an amazing place to walk and bike.
Oh, but the more bikes we have on the road, the more people will feel comfortable riding bikes on the road. You know, it is a, you know, when the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit came up, you know, I realized I was out having tea with a friend in North Beach, and I realized I had to catch the ferry, and I had like 6 minutes to get there, which is all you need to get from North Beach to the ferry terminal. So it's already a 15-minute city from the standpoint I could have ridden a bike that distance too.
Yep. And we have an amazing transit system too. And, you know, you don't have to only walk, right? You can, and the bus is free, right? I'm pretty new here. I see it says no fare on the front of it.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
So, I mean.
Do you know, Dan?
Well, I know it is for.
For the loop.
For the loop. And it was in a big way during the height of the pandemic.
Right.
But I believe it now the goal is to see if we can get it to be free all the time from here on out. A number of cities in America are doing that and finding extraordinary results.
Yeah, the collected fares is a smaller piece of the revenue.
Okay. Well, I want to just sort of finish up by saying, Jeff and Dan, thank you very much for being here. And I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow at the conference. For anyone who's listening, it is the Moving in the Right Direction conference. It is taking place at the American Legion Hall. It starts at 9, goes till 4. Go to l2020.org/conf2023, and you can sign up for tickets there. And it sounds like it's going to be an interesting conference. You maybe know, Jeff, because you've been listening to the show, that I like to go out with an appropriate musical piece.
I do. although on the recording, it doesn't play the song.
We don't always include the song. No,
okay.
No.